we had a, father had a car, which he would promptly take off the road after Thanksgiving. That was put in the barn. And then I guess father had the phone disconnected after Thanksgiving. Because that saved till $3 a month. Now that's depression.
That's depression. When would he decide to connect it again? When was the beginning?
About the 1st of April.
Yeah, about the 1st of April. Going back in business then, you know.
And the car too.
And he wouldn't even get the paper. We'd bring the paper home from school. He'd stop and get the paper on the way home from school.
He
took turns.
Okay.
You don't remember that? Because I remember once I forgot it. And I had to go back and get it.
I never forgot it again.
Things like that to stick in your
head. Yeah, you walk down Chester Street and walk across in front of the golf course. The wind blew off the golf course.
Okay, now let's get into the 40s, all right? And I guess mostly the war is what took up Westboro, and I don't know how it affected Westboro itself. Most of the men were gone, I guess.
Well, you see, Westboro stayed 5,000 until, 46, 47, 48, somewhere in there when it began to expand.
Slow after that.
Westboro had been 5,000 people since the Civil War.
Now, did that include Lyman School and the State Hospital?
That was always a great conjecture.
Yeah, that was always just dubious.
Just how many of what?
How many are real people are actually here? For instance, if we're up to 2,000 from
I don't
the
think
others,
ever know.
Were there only 3,000 in Westboro all that time?
Didn't they
didn't break it down?
I'm glad somebody else doesn't remember exactly what
well, that seems to
you
be
around 180, 360 degrees. When you get back to the beginning, you didn't know where you started.
Well, every time people quote population facts to me, they always say, well, you understand that included Lyman School and State Hospital.
Or else it didn't include Lyman School. Yeah.
And you think, well, did it or didn't it? Because if it didn't, there was only about 3,000 or 4,000 people here.
That's possible.
And then I know there was a point, perhaps just a few years ago, they stopped counting State Hospital, so that's why we haven't seemed to grow as much.
Well, the hospital and the Lyman School is gone,
right?
And the hospital has been decreasing, so it's.
This makes sense not to count them.
Sort of got back to the citizens out in the town.
Now, as far as State Hospital, it was started way back, but was it always a big employer of Westboro people, or was it at certain times it was more so than others, or?
All people worked there, Upton, Grafton, Northborough. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was.
And quite a lot of people came down from Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
The salaries at the state institutions were low, always low.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of these people from the Maritimes came down.
So
benefits were good.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be one of the main employers or not? Westboro.
I suppose it was.
Well, yes.
These people eventually settled in Westboro, and many of these Nova Scotia people settled here.
They came down.
Westboro and
they came down before the 40s, long before.
Oh, yes. Probably you'd say in the 20s.
Well, it was the Thorpes, the Hutts.
Yeah.
Guy, Earl Hutt's father came up there. And Fletcher Steele, and there was a whole flock of them.
McPherson's.
Yes, they came down in the
20s. I remember asking one time, Dave McPherson, somebody else was there, and I said, well, when did you come down, Dave? The other person said, oh, we rode down on a load of turnips.
Now, that was a pretty big, they had a farm there, too, didn't they, at the State Hospital in Lyman School?
Oh, yeah, yes,
farm,
yep.
Which continued.
Yeah, they supplied a major portion of their own food.
Yeah, between they and Grafton, I think they used to swap back and forth some things. They had
bring
dairy,
apples.
A big dairy.
Dairy in it.
They'd bring apples to Dad's cider mill. Louis Wynon, who was a little bit of a man with a bum leg, twisting up leg, would beat the Teamster. Ted Teamster.
He was a splendid horseman.
Yes. Mm. He'd drive into the yard with a big team of horses, swung up and back into Dad's barn door with a load of
cider apples.
Cider apples.
Wow.
This must have kept the most of the help there in Lyman School in a happy, euphoric state once.
Keep giving out that cider, they'll never.
I'm sure a lot of that cider never got into vinegar.
Gee, they must have made a lot of it. Four or five wagon loads of cider apples come in, you know.
Okay, let's start on your father's and your farms and what you remember. First, what was your father doing, and how long, and when did he begin?
Horses and cows.
Horses and cows he kept?
And he killed them.
Killed.
Cut them up. Put them in barrels. Put them in a wagon. Took them down. Put them in a freight car. Shipped them to Worcester.
And his slaughterhouse was over here at the end of Chestnut Street.
Who is this now?
Dad.
Now, this was, when did he do that?
Oh,
he came back to this, to the east in 1904. And he ran this tallow and bone business to north of Marlboro. And he ran a fish, he ran that two or three days a week, and then he ran a fish business at Shrewsbury for a while,
on
Fridays.
He could run this rendering business 3 days a week, make enough money to live on. And then the other 3 days he worked in his farm. This is the way he bought the farm back. So.
Okay.
The Belknap.
Lyman Belknaps.
It owned the land all the way up through.
All the way to the reservoir.
And sold it. And then Dad tried to buy some of it back.
Okay, so he worked in this, what we call them, a meat business? Is it kind of a packing?
Well, the name, there's a
term. Slaughterhouse, as you're saying.
A slapper or a packer or a...
A knacker.
Really?
Yeah, it's an English word.
Yes.
James Harriet uses it.
Yes.
For the person who counts and it kills, cuts up a dead animal.
All right. Now, this would he do that for farmers
hire.
Then? I see, for hire. All right.
I suppose other people didn't want to do it and it paid well, probably.
Sure. Then would he...
He'd ship it to the rendering company.
I can remember Father saying that during World War I, the horse I brought $40.
Well, he made some good money at it, but I don't think he kept out that long.
Well, then he built the farm here and put in his cows.
Yeah.
No, that would be 1910 or 12.
His son decided that there wasn't any money in milk.
He ran the cows until he got his apple trees up. Point of bearing apples.
So he put.
Then he closed out the cows.
All right. And when did he go into the apple and fruit?
Oh, the early teens. Started planting.
Well, he must have started planting them. These right here behind the. Those trees were planted in.
Because my dad used to bring some apples over to you too. He had the cider mill.
Where was the cider mill?
Yeah,
right here on Chestnut Street. Okay. And how long did he run the cider mill? Right up till?
Right up to 49.
So it was from like 1920, 22?
Because it died out. The business died out.
He must have put that cider mill in just about World War I.
Okay.
He had a big one-cylinder engine on it. 12 horsepower, one-cylinder engine, and you could hear that engine downtown.
We'd
go up, pum, pum, pum. Pum, 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 pum.
Those old one-liners with big wheels on.
Yeah, huge flywheels. And the kids downtown could hear the engine running. And they knew that Ed was making cider. And they'd come up cross lots and they'd drink all the cider they could drink. You remember? Dad never said no to a boy or a girl. They come up. Some of them had disastrous results after eating too much cider.
But tried to get home, they wouldn't make it home.
Couldn't quite get there. But still, the enjoyment of being able to get that cider was great.
But they could hear that engine.
Now, how far did your land go, or how long that was planted in this orchard?
A little beyond Bell's.
Yeah.
It started
a little beyond Jennifer.
Oh, right.
And was it all apples or other fruits as well?
No, there's some truck farming.
Peaches.
Peaches, apples, pears, cherries.
Now, any other, where did you sell them then? You said it was out on a stand.
Trying to sell some of the stand, but people came, bought good yield.
Yes, lots of people came to the farm.
Did you wholesale anything, wholesale markets?
Yeah, Dad sent some to New York with some.
And then he shipped in Worcester and New York.
There used to be quite a few wholesale markets back in Worcester. Yeah, at that time. I don't know whether you ever.
Commission houses, yeah.
Yeah.
What were some of the other, well, orchards at the time?
Oh, was Waldham and Taggart.
Gosh, yeah, a lot of them at that time.
What is Waldham and Taggart?
Do you know when Waldham and Taggart finished or he sold?
Waldham closed down about 1950. When Don Tyler started to build up there.
Don Tyler started.
Well, I don't know. He still had his auction where he lived there. I don't know why.
But that across the street, that development was right around the early 50s.
Yeah. Well, it started right after the war.
What was the guy down the road? Just
Kenneth Craig.
Mr. Craig. Yeah.
That's where Quick is now.
On West Main.
Yeah.
And then there were the...
Dick Gilmore's up where Quick is now.
Gilmore's.
On Adams Street. Kyle Henry over on Fisher Street there.
Baldwin Farm on Maple Street.
What's his name?
Baldwin Farm.
Oh, up on Moore Street.
Moore Street.
Oh.
Morse, so okay.
So Maple Street. This is a Maple Street there.
Baldwin Farm, all right. And what was on Spring at that point?
That was Perry Animals.
Was that his father's?
No relation.
Oh, was that so?
No relation to the name.
No.
And then there was Mary Lambruno.
Brusco.
She bought Perry Animals.
Oh, she did, all right.
That was George Packers.
Oh.
What did Lambruno run? She was on the...
Yeah, that was George Packers.
George Park.
And I remember hearing... That was the only orchard in Westboro that escaped a frost because of its proximity to the reservoir. And that year, he raised a full crop of apples, and he had a little Model T truck, and he'd take in 25 bushel and come home with $100.
What year was that? Apples must have been pretty short that year.
There weren't any.
Wow. Well,
Dad must have been ill every week.
Thinking about that one, huh?
So all the rest of the orchards were frosted out. Now that was probably in the 20s somewhere. I don't know. I can remember Father telling about it.
Now most of these orchards were in the 20s right up to the 40s, would you say?
Yeah, right up to World War II.
Okay, and they started, do you think?
I don't know when they started.
It's hard to know. That's like the whole thing.
Like that one on Moore Street, that's an old orchard.
Well, there were little ones around.
People planted apple trees, it seemed.
There was traditional here in New England.
Sure. Even if you had any kind of farm, you had a few apple trees, too.
Yeah, 25 apple trees or something.
Okay. Well, many of them were planted along the fence lines, too.
Around the roadway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, did you run one of the few cider mills, or did you know?
There was another cider mill over on Warren Street, where Bert Adams lives.
Oh, there was?
Yeah.
Oh, who was that? I never heard of it.
That must have gone before I was...
Yeah.
Oh.
Before my time.
Oh, was that before your father did it, or simultaneously?
Well, that vanished in, I would say, about World War I, or just after. Some of the equipment stayed around there, but nobody ran it.
And now, as far as what you remember as farms out on Route 9, now did you, starting at the line, let's say, where?
Which line?
Toward Southboro.
East, on the eastern side.
Has that ever changed now?
Yeah, that's, I'm hearing more and more about how it's changed. But what do you remember as starting up?
Oh, I know Apologies, except
I can't remember anyone down past Freiberg's.
Who owned Freiberg's before they bought it?
It was Mr. Patterson.
Let's see, when were the Freiberg's there? I need to get this kind of in...
They came in the late 20s.
Okay,
Anna Freiberg went into the 7th grade.
Could have been. I can remember Mr. Patterson, and I was a small boy. He used to come down by the house once in a while. He had one of the slickest driving rigs. He was always in a nice horse and a buggy, you know, real fast animal, nice stuff. None of this run-of-the-mill stuff. Mr. Patterson had ever fought a horse.
Yeah, okay.
Try that darn thing out one of these days.
Looked good. It's like a new car. You gotta get that. Oh, yeah. Get that horse. Okay.
Well, I think he was basically retired. No. He was an elderly gentleman. I don't think he had any stock other than maybe a couple of horses.
So.
He lived up where Freiburg.
All right. Freiburg, that was. What is that now? What is Freiburg's now? So we can identify.
Gone.
But what is there? GTE.
GTE.
Well, yes, but Freiburg's house was out in the interchange.
Okay.
Between Route 9 and Computer
Drive,
it was in there. Remember where Freiburg Tool and Die was up in there?
Okay.
The little barn?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was the second barn. The first barn burnt back in, right after the Civil
late 40s.
Okay, now.
Burnt the old house, the barn, the whole thing went one morning.
Oh. Alden Electric, when did that come in? That was...
I have no idea.
That was the R.F. Parker farm. And he lived on Beacon Hill. R.F. Parker, Richard Fay Parker.
Well, that was where he was. I heard of him, never knew where he was.
And that's why my grandfather came out to Westboro to work for Richard Fay Parker. That was on Washington Street, deal.
Okay. Now, coming down along that side, there was a Freiburg farm? That
and across the street.
Well, Fennell's was up
Winthrop
there.
Fennell.
Yes. Up on top of the hill.
And he raised Ayrshires.
There's
what are Ayrshires?
Cows.
Cows? I should know. All I know is Holstein and things like that. Ayrshires, huh?
Well, the house isn't there now. It's gone. Well,
what's there now?
The house, actually, if the house was there, it would be in the middle of that drive that goes across there now. That new access road. That's just about where the house was. And
not very far from the geological.
Weston, Weston.
They own the house and the barn and everything.
Well, they own, no. Yes, they did. They owned the Weston geophysical land at one time. That was Fennell's land. Freiburg bought it from Fennell.
But they were on that side, though. The Fennells
yes,
were on the
northerly side.
Side now, did your father once tell me that he had a stand up there?
He bought a piece of Fennell's land.
Right across from Mass Electric,
yes,
no, isn't it?
Right across from Mass Electric.
Yeah.
And there was a steakhouse of some kind.
Thompson's Steakhouse.
That
was over
right
the hill toward Westboro.
Practically the front yard of where Western Geophysical is.
The corner
again,
of Lyons
out
there.
Out in the road, where that roadway is, that's where it was right there. Plus
okay.
At that time,
George, nobody could broil a steak like Billy.
Plus at that time, the road didn't go across.
But Lyon Street?
Opposite,
was that
Lyon Street went down to Route 9.
Well, it'd been on the north side of Lyon Street.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And on the opposite side of Route 9 was Farris, with the cabins.
Farris Cabins,
yes.
Okay.
Henry
no.
Brady's mother-in-law.
There were quite a few cabins. That's what surprised me when I heard that there were groups
of
cabins.
Well, they went in after Route 9.
Yes, it was cabins.
After 1930, then.
Yeah, there were cabins over where Union Electric was, too.
They antedated the motels.
Yeah. As soon as the road was built, I mean, this brought people and accommodations were the next requirement.
Why Westboro? Did they stop before getting to Boston or before they went out to the western part of the state? Was it a natural stopping point for something?
They were not only in Westboro. I mean, they were built along the roads as the roads.
All of the main highways.
They were a facility to serve the people traveling the road, same as gas stations.
There was some suspicion that they also supported the hot pillow trade, too.
Well, that's very possible.
We like a lot of them, though. I just think that's strange to have them all over the place.
Things were different then, huh?
Things, no, naturally. Human nature never changes
well,
that
didn't
much.
Get, didn't change that much.
Oh, a hotbed of activity here, Westboro was. But what? All right.
I don't think this was confined to Westboro at all.
No,
no.
I don't think it was.
I'm 99% sure.
Amherst was just about the same.
Sure.
So here we have Thompson Steak.
The greenhouses across from Al Holman's.
Well, we want to get back.
Well, wait a second. We're at Thompson's and Farris here.
Yes,
now,
okay.
What?
Well,
now
the
going
next
down.
Thing, if you come down to well,
what is the name of the farm? Yeah, Cynthia Brigham's. Is that a farm?
Not really.
Never. I never
no.
remember it as
they
a farm.
They had a 10 or a dozen acres. She and Bodie Brigham and her brother and sister and But the next one too, where the Brigham. What's the name of the Molokai restaurant or something? Mm-hmm. There was a house and a barn there.
That was Cynthia Brigham's house.
No. Cynthia Brigham's was the next one up to it.
Yes.
Kaplan lived there at one time. And I don't know who Kaplan was. I mean, my father speak of Kaplan's.
Who was the big guy that worked for J.S. Nathan that didn't have all
Maggie Hunter?
Right, all of them apples.
Maggie Hunter.
Oh, was that the fam?
No.
What are you talking about?
The big guy that worked for J.S. Nathan.
Okay, and what was that where the Red Barn is now? Who was there?
Scott's.
What were they? Were they a dairy or?
I don't think so. He had a little orchard out back there, where the truck body place is. He had, I don't know, a little small orchard out in there. I don't think he had any. They might have had a horse or something like that, but I don't know what he had.
Halfway up the hill where Bob Matthews is was Mrs. Waits.
Yes.
She had cabins.
More cabins, huh? Yeah.
Well, she had a little lunchroom, too. Yes.
Okay. So I have Ferris Cabins and Waits Cabins, then. Any others?
Well, it was Hooper's Cabin.
Where were they?
They were over where New England Electric is today.
All right. Was that beyond Ferris, then?
And she's still around. She still runs this woman, Gary Circle.
Yes.
You could go and talk to her.
Yes.
Maddie Hooper.
Bought that
outline.
Bought the cabins and the house and everything.
She's sharp as a tack. And
oh, is that so?
What's her first name? Inez? What's her whole name?
Hooper.
First name?
Inez Hooper.
Inez Hooper? Okay.
We never knew her. What was her husband's name?
Bill.
Bill.
Okay.
Mike Thirsty.
They got all that money for that place, and Bill didn't have a shred of health left.
Oh, yeah?
That poor
guy. Took the last 15 minutes after he sold the barrel.
There was somebody else on the bill, George Claypool. He lived up there somewhere.
He was on Smith Street.
Oh, he was over on Smith Street.
Okay. Okay, so now we're coming down. We have the Red Barn where Scott's was. And then we're down near, are we down near your farm yet?
Well,
Scott's.
Well, they said there was a restaurant across the way sometime, but maybe that was later in the 50s.
Across from where?
Where the Honolulu is. I'm not that is too far down now. Oh, the McGuffick's.
Yes. In where Bob Matthews got his real estate office, there was a donut shop in there. Norman's Donut Shop.
That was near Mrs. Waite's cabin?
Yes, right next door to her.
Okay.
That was active in the 47, 48, 49, 50, right in that area.
Okay. Now we're coming down, and do we get to the McGuffick's yet?
No.
One we've missed, we should include, would be Tom Poskett's farm there on Smith Street.
That's way out on the other street.
It's not on Route 9, though.
That wouldn't
but
be
that's Poskett.
Down past where Eddie Human is.
So when you get out on...
Oh, yeah. He told me what was out on East Main, in a way. I'm trying to reconstruct Route 9,
Well, the next thing you'd be getting is, let's see, where McDonald's out, there was just a house in there. And then where Friendly's is, that was Harrington's or Mrs. Hunter. Mrs. Hunter was still alive. Where is she? Ruth Hunter. She working up the Green Thumb now?
No, I think she retired. She lives
retired?
On Water Street.
She lives on Water Street, but
a trailer on Water Street.
That was there. And then Cap Farbush's place. That's still there. And one of his
sons,
one of his nephews. Cap and Elsie Farbush, remember that?
I don't remember that.
Is that a farm?
No, it wasn't. Well, she has some chickens. It was 3 acres or something of that nature.
Okay.
And then next to that was the carpenter's own 4 or 5 acres, and they had a little chicken business.
Sounded like people, when they owned something, they owned quite a bit of land. Well, a couple of acres anyway. Is that right?
Well, if you're going to do any kind of
land was cheap
for the work, I mean, you kind of need a little work to do it all.
Well, yeah, except that nowadays you don't get that when you get a house ready.
Well, you weren't farming today either.
That's right.
I mean, it was Lynn McGuffin's is, of course, where they put up the new Linpro building in there.
That's where the new office park
is?
Yes.
Well, also, the carpenters, that is also involved in that, because Linpro bought the whole thing, and they put that together as a 15, 17 acres.
Now, they When did they come to town, the MacGuffins? Were they there as long as you can remember, or did they? They were Carnation people, right?
Brigham and MacGuffin came about the same time and started together.
No.
But do you know what time
then they split?
Mac came after Paul Brigham. Brigham's was over where Bergerman's was. You know,
right
Bergerman?
On. Yep.
Okay. Well, that Paul was Brigham started over there, and then Mac came up from the Cape. Mac was down at the Cape.
When were they starting? Do you have any idea?
28 or 29. They built the greenhouses in 28, about 2 years before they put the road in.
This is MacGuffin?
Yes. Well, it was MacGuffin and Brigham, and then they got along for 2 or 3 years, and then
nobody could get along with either of them, so
nobody could get along with Paul.
This is the history I'm not writing. It's much more exciting than the history I am, to tell you the truth. Those with the terrible thirst, etc.
Let's put it this way, they were the odd couple.
And
they were both very diligent workers and businessmen.
Smart businessmen, or at least Paul Brigham was.
Which one was only Carnations? One went
They both were.
Both and mainly Carnations?
Yeah.
In South America.
But Archie knew how to make a buck and hang on to it. But Paul, I don't
South
think
America
did.
And the Caribbean islands has ruined the Carnation business.
Oh, is that what happened? Okay.
Is it so?
Yeah.
Well, you can't get help. You can't afford to heat the greenhouses. It's economically impossible. Well,
they continued now right through, I know they said MacGuffin's did some of the...
MacGuffin's was sold out in 68, fall of 68.
Okay.
Sold out and then just laid there dormant up until a couple of years ago.
Because they would...
Mason Taft, who lived there...
You got all the Paul Brigham's?
We were across...
When did Brigham's leave? They sold off to... Bergerman, perhaps.
No, they sold out to Hugo Freiberg, who was their son-in-law.
When? I mean, when did they stop having a Carnation business there?
Well, they didn't. Hugo, who married Paul's daughter, took the business over, and he ran it for, how long did Hugo? Until Bergerman came along one day and wanted to buy it real bad, and Hugo sold it to him.
So it really actually stayed in the business until Julio's Plaza bought it, I mean.
The greenhouse,
yes.
Because
it
was in
the
70s, yeah.
Bergerman got out of the Carnation business.
Okay.
And got into plants and retail and stuff. We lived across the street from the Limbo places.
Okay, so that, where you were, was your farm. Mm-hmm. Now, what kind?
A little of this, a little of that. And it was a few chickens, a few cows, vegetables, and things like that.
And would that be the way you made your livelihood, though?
Basically,
just selling vegetables to?
My father's looking for Worcester. I mean, I wasn't involved in it,
mm-hmm.
other than this.
Sweetie, it's always an
unwilling participant.
Right. Okay, right. And then who would be next to you coming down?
Mason Taft. And that was where the
Burger King
is today. It was a house and a barn there.
And was
he
that
never did much farming, did he?
What was that?
He had a dozen or 15 cows. Yeah.
Along any old...
Did a little wood business. Did quite a little wood business back
then. Yeah, and then he hit the ice houses on Lake Johnson.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Now, what do you remember about Ed? Let's see, who remembers? Sugar Nurse and Ed Yeoman remember cutting ice.
Yeah, sure do.
Because they said they had to pack their milk in their ice houses a lot.
Yeoman's
They got the ice.
They didn't do much cutting.
Who?
Believe it.
Really? All right.
We did the cutting.
You did the cutting. Tell me who the we was. That didn't sound right.
My father and my two uncles were the one that had all the equipment to do the ice cutting with. We cut on Chauncey right there, right off the beach. And
how did it work? I mean, what did you do? Drive your team out?
Well, it's quite a process. Cutting
large,
ice is quite
large
a...
Large saws?
Well, yes, you... You go through it and you lay your field all out, and then you get a cutter with a horse, and you draw it down, and then you got to get your ways and your racks in to push it
were
all.
Were they using the horses that you can remember?
Oh yes, we used a horse, single horse, I'm sure. Oh yes.
And you cut large cakes, were they?
Well, they cut it. They mark it in about, I think they were 30 inches square, 32 inches square, and whatever. whatever thickness Mother Nature was providing at the time.
Would it have to be a certain thickness, a minimum thickness, before you could go out on the...
Well, we didn't like to play with it when it had 10 inches or a foot.
Yeah,
horse is standing out there. You want to have something under
it. Well, what you did, you went in and you lined your field all one way, then you lined it the other way and got your entrance way put into it and got your spill thing down it. We'd have a rack. You'd hit the use a couple of pointed forks on the thing and slide the ice up a runway into the truck or a wagon. And because after you got the thing set up, you didn't get your horse back on there after that. You kept your horse back on and cut it down so far, and then you broke it off with a hand bar and broke the pieces all up and run them around in the channel. And all was fun. Kids used to have a lot of fun. I was a little kid about 8 or 10 years old. We used to have a barrel of fun over there.
My grandfather worked for Mason Taft down there, and he tells about they put a half-inch rope around the horse's necks.
Just in case.
If the horse went into the water, they could choke him off so the horse wouldn't drown.
Keep
his head out of water.
Floating.
The air in and the horse out?
Yes, I think Mason had lost it. He didn't cut, well, he cut over further.
Now, how much of Chauncey are you cutting? I mean, what your field is?
You get an awful lot of cakes out of 200 square feet.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I was thinking you better be watching where you're standing, what you're cutting, and how you get back in.
It used to be... They built the inn. Remember the old inn down there? There used to be an ice house there. Now, was that Taft's? Taft used to have some ice houses down.
His were right on the water. And I went down with Mason when the Kiwanis bought the land. And Mason was the only one who had any idea where the boundaries were.
Okay, now he kept ice houses filled with ice. Did he have them?